figuring out where you are based upon what you can observe, right? Like, these are the things that are useful to remote workers. And as we go about this profession together, finding your metaphor for what it is that, you know, is going to be the thing that unlocks what we're doing here together. I encourage everyone to do that.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to another episode of the New Nomad Podcast. Tyler Sellhorn will join us today, and this should be really easy for Tyler, given that he is an excellent podcaster himself of The Remote Show. He's actually done more remote shows than we've done of the New Nomad, so we could learn something from him today. But, you know, Andrew, I'll bring in my co-host, Andrew Jernigan. As we discussed today, and we had a little sidebar with Tyler before this, 18 months to 2 years when, during the pandemic, we're all at home doing team calls and other things. I used to be very paranoid that my dog would bark during a WebEx or a podcast or something. We've gotten a little different now. Everybody kind of understands the remote work that we're living in and the differences thing. And when we bring Tyler in, ultimately, some of you may even hear some knocking in the background. He'll explain. But what do you think, Andrew? Do you think we've gotten a thicker skin now that we've gone 18 months in?
Yes and no, because so many folks are still so new to this. The company has just made the decision, and there's just such a, there's still an adjustment curve that is taking place really quickly, and a lot of folks aren't adjusting to it as quickly as they need to, I think. The dogs, the bosses are still on them about that crying child or the dog or the doorbell or whatever, but there's the other aspect, Alan, of trust. Trust that people are getting the work done, because, you know, so many folks had to be sitting chained to that desk for from 9 to 5 or from 7 to 11, whatever those hours were, they knew that, okay, you must be producing because you're sitting and staring at the computer. But really, they probably weren't producing as much as they are now, but yet the mental health is tolling because they're feeling like, okay, I've got to do it, you know, because that person is working late and I'm working early, and it's swinging both ways. This is going to be fun hearing Tyler's approach to this, because I know that he's got his thumb on the pulse of this industry.
Well, I think let's bring Tyler in. First off, we're going to have synchronous communication with Tyler today, but we're going to talk a lot about async communication on things. And Tyler, I know we had a little fun with the beginning. If you could explain just a little bit about what's going on in your world at this moment that many people will get a chuckle about.
Yeah, so we are experiencing a home renovation currently. Greetings. Thank you very much, Alan and Andrew, for inviting me onto the New Nomad Podcast. Happy to bring my experiences here, and I'm really excited to be learning out loud with you all too. But if you do hear some loud noises in the background of this asynchronous recording, those of you that are listening on the other end of this internet communication, we are having some home renovations done, and there is some pounding that was supposed to have been completed long before we scheduled this recording, but lo and behold, life intervenes and brings us these foibles, and have now become part of our working day. And it's time for us to just embrace the fact that people are people long before they are workers, right? And I think that's the thing that we're all trying to build for, is enabling a future in which, you know, way on down the stack is what you might happen to do for a living, and way further up the stack is who you are as a person. I'm proud to be a husband and a father and a youth sports coach long before I'm doing anything else, including podcasting and working for a company full time. And, you know, it's really, really exciting to be here with you all just talking about these things, because, you know, thinking of the nomads that you all are supporting, there's so many cool life experiences that are enabled by this mode of showing up to work.
And you know, as we talk today, and I've seen a lot written about, there's a lot more of these head of remote type roles. And one of the things I find is really interesting is your podcast talks about that, and maybe even you're talking about Yak, which is, I guess you can explain a bit of that, but talk about what you're seeing out there. I mean, you've done 63 podcasts or 64 podcasts. You've had great guests and you've learned a lot, but you've also taught a lot. What are you seeing out there? And what are you also thinking about this new role of head of remote and other sundry changes in the corporate space and in the individual space?
Well, one of my favorite questions that I've been able to ask of many, many guests, including the original head of remote, Darren Murph, Joop van der Voort, the CEO of Remote. I've talked to lots of different people. Chris Hurd from First Base, who does home office provisioning. Talked to Laurel Farrar. There's names go on and on and on of people who were 2019 remoters. So that's the kind of my phrase of saying the folks that had really been out there for remote work long before it became the thing that people just, oh, this is work now, you know, especially during the pandemic. The question I've been asking is, tell us about the compare and contrast of those different epochs, those periods of time where, okay, what was it in 2019 and before? Was it, you know, right now during the pandemic? And what are you expecting to see happen in the future? And some big themes have kind of drawn out for me. And this is the way I said it back to a guest recently, and I've kind of stuck with it, is to say that 2019 and before, remote work was a luxury for the lucky, right? That during the pandemic, remote work has been a requirement of the responsible, right?
Yeah.
And that in 2022 and beyond, remote work is going to become something that we build as a part of a lifestyle.
I like that a lot. And
I really, really believe in that kind of zoomed out sort of look at things. And I think for myself, I count myself among the lucky, right? I joined a fully remote organization in 2019, right? I decoupled my work from my location, and all of a sudden things went up and to the right for me professionally, right? I just started showing up, and like we were joking earlier that I, you know, been following you all around the internet. Like we talked to similar guests, you know, on the podcast, and that there's things that like have happened for us because we've chosen to kind of hitch our wagon to the internet stars of like going around the world that isn't really necessarily connected to a physical location. And I think that is going to become more and more the story of the most successful professionals anywhere is the ones that choose to reside on the internet, right? Who are the internet people on the internet doing internet things? Those are the people that are going to find the most success because they're not going to be tethered to a major metro to depend on, you know, finding great employment, right?
Right. Yeah, Tyler, what you're talking about reminds me how that expats had trailing partners, trailing spouses in the past. And those, their wife, in my case, might get a great job in another country. And I would be there sitting with my laptop thinking, okay, I got to find work. And I would end up working remotely for a company while she was on a multinational assignment. And it actually happened similar for her with an assignment. But those are the lucky that could work remotely. And now it's a shift of, okay, I think I'm going to become an expat because I can work remotely. And nations are saying, okay, we're going to allow immigrants to come in that have good income instead of all these barriers for immigration that were previously there. Those are being stripped. So instead of it being for the lucky, it's being extended to anyone so that a company can hire someone from Kenya that's a programmer. And all of a sudden, they have a great income and they can prove to Greece that they have a certain level of income and they can immigrate with a one-year visa to Greece because suddenly they're employed by a multinational company that doesn't care where they're based. So it just the change in the workforce with the companies, the job sites, or not even job sites, the gig sites of Contra, Plural.com, the old Elance type environment to where people could post that they're available and companies could hire them on a contract basis or full time. It's not just for the lucky anymore. But now, how do we build culture? How do we communicate since we're not walking to the car together at the end of a day? We're not saying, hey, let's run down to the pub at the end of the night or the bar, or we're not having coffee and donuts in the break room. You know, it's a thing of, okay, do you communicate through Zoom, global Zoom calls, or do you do it through an async method to where we're leaving messages and you hear them when it's your time zone? So I'm passing it off to you because that was a loaded set. Tyler.
You tossed one up for me to hit it out of the park. That's exactly what we are suggesting is that when you're working across time zones, right? When you are working in a fully distributed organization, right? How do you work together? How do you stay aligned without it owning your calendar full of video conferences, right? The way you do that is by optimizing for an audio first, asynchronous first communication style, right? We're very opinionated at Yak, which Alan was asking earlier, please explain the acronym because that has a connotation that maybe is an older phrase. You know, once upon a time, we were an acronym standing for yelling across cubicles, right? And so we were enabling things to be there. But how do you make sure that the meetings that you're having are recorded by default, right? Are able to be accessed at any time, can produce outcomes and notes and a transcription that would be able to be used in a document or used in some sort of delivery deliverable following the meeting, right? How do you optimize for having an agenda? How do you optimize for having an outcome from a meeting rather than just being on a video conference? Because that's the default right now, now that we're not working in an office, right? How do we do that? Well, we feel very strongly that you should use our product, but we also believe in the category broadly, right? That asynchronous meetings, audio first asynchronous meetings are the best way for you to maintain alignment on your own time, right? Our customers are coming to see us because they know that we used to be all, PST, West Coast people, and now we've hired somebody in Switzerland, and how do we have almost zero overlap with that person, right? In my previous job, I was a Yak customer and used it because the team that I led spanned from Seattle to Melbourne. There was parts of our team that never worked at the same times, right? So how do we make sure that we are able to communicate and stay aligned on things in a way that doesn't depend on a video conference, right? How can we, have that first language, right? Everyone's first language is the spoken word, right? So how do we optimize for using that as our primary mode of communication, right? Well, let's make that the default. Let's make that the way we start off with. Now, obviously you can stretch out to a screen share and you can use a transcription to just put it into a document, right? And you can kind of use your first draft as the thing that you set out loud. Then, going on from there, right? You mentioned before, how do we do the culture thing? Well, if you make your meetings about the team building and bonding, you and I and Alan are all looking at each other through the screen, right? Our monkey brains are doing the primate thing, right? And so we're going to be able to have a friendship and a collegial way of working together, on LinkedIn and Twitter and wherever else we happen to bump into each other. That's going to be different than what we were before, right? And so when you make those synchronous moments about the culture and about the bonding, right? And the connection, now those times that when you're working in a document or in a Yak meeting, right? Now you're going to be able to make that about the work instead of about staying connected, right? And so really, really trying to make synchronous time, remote teams forever, long before the pandemic, would have retreats where they came together. Yeah. We are committed to doing the distributed work, right? But then we also wanted to be in person with one another because we understood the way that we think and behave as humans, right? We want to be able to build trust and build bonds in real life. But then we also want to get away from each other to make it about the work. So make those synchronous moments, those in-person moments about bonding, about team building, and then make those times that you're apart and the times that you're asynchronous about the work.
That's tremendous. I mean, because we've been getting a lot of feedback on the podcast about the difficulties in building community in a remote work environment. And you just touched upon something I hadn't even thought about, is the synchronous time is really a great time to build community, esprit de corps, whatever you want to call it, a group. But you're right. If I'm working with you and you're 12 time zones away, I don't want to be half asleep when it's the only time we can work together. You're going to be able to compute, I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm going to get communication from you of what you did yesterday. I'm doing this morning. And frankly, that's even going to make it better because I'm not going to resent the time zones. I'm not going to resent that. Why are we in this situation? So, let me just a quick thing is, what have you seen in the last 18 months, 2 years, perhaps the building of community too? Because before the pandemic, remote work was so frowned upon. It was really actually hard to build community. And now people realize this is the way we've got to do things. Let's still have that esprit de corps, but we have to do it differently. I love your perspective on that because I know you've talked to a lot of people and you've given it a lot of thought.
Well, I used to work in the most co-located industry on earth, right? I was a school teacher, right? And it was bells on the hour, every hour, to tell this set of people to go to another mandatory meeting with another set of people that they did not choose to be with, right? There was a certain amount of, I guess maybe I didn't realize it at the time, but there's a certain amount of trauma associated with that. That you're telling me that I have to next to this person that I don't know and don't care to be around, right? Okay, so I think that's one of the things that we need to kind of imagine for ourselves, right? When you're saying the esprit de corps is so important that we're going to require you to move your person, right, from one place to another, right, for sometimes 3 hours a day or more to travel to this place that we end up on a lot of video conferences and doing a lot of emails, like so much of the time that's there, isn't even for the esprit de corps. Right. So to me, this is my absolute favorite phrase that I have repeated over and over from Darren Murph, is that remote work is a forcing function for intentionality. We don't do anything without purposeful decision-making in a remote environment. You have to decide, right? And if you are choosing not to decide, that is a decision of its own, right? Whereas we could just pretend when we were all coming to the office that this was just the way things are. No. You have to decide, what are we doing right now? What are we doing right now? We're talking about the future of work. We're talking, and that's kind of like an umbrella term to kind of like just make it safe for all the people that are afraid of the future, that like these things are off in the future. But no. The future of work is now. We are doing this thing now. We need to make a decision about what it is that we're doing, because if we don't, our competitor is going to win because they are operating in the future as we speak. So I think that's one of the things that we really need to embrace as we think about all of these different ideas. These are not things that are going to be for us in 18 months or 5 years. There are startups, there are smaller companies, there are competitors that have made the decision to optimize for this version of work today. This update to digitizing your business, to enabling a remote first workforce, is an existential threat to every business, right? Because you can observe the largest corporations on earth have struggled to roll out and then roll back and then roll out and then roll back different versions of their hybrid remote plans. And that is happening on a, you know, like a scaled down version, every industry on earth, right? And we've got to make a decision. Are we going to support individuals being able to fit work around their lives instead of the other way around? Or are we going to just lose because those people don't look to us anymore at all?
Well, I think you hit upon something that we've been hearing as a theme, is this great resignation that's going on, typically in the corporate area, of companies that aren't giving people the flexibility, obviously leading to this great migration. And interestingly enough, a lot of the migration seems to be smaller companies or individuals that are going to be working in consulting roles where they got more flexibility and freedom. They might go to PEOs or employee of records. And then you see countries now doing the digital nomad visas, where in the past, if I had to go work overseas for an extended period of time, I would need my corporation to support me on it because they'd have to do the corporation thing. Now I can just go to a digital nomad country and put my information in and be there for a year. So don't you get also the feeling it's uncoupling people maybe from the large corporations to the things that you enjoy doing in a small entrepreneurial environment? And with your async communication in these small entrepreneurial environments, we tend to have fewer people at a corporation that might be more spread out. I mean, thinking of Andrew and myself at Insured Nomads, we got folks in the Philippines and in the UK and other locations, and there's not a lot of us, but we need to have this communication work. So I know it's a loaded question there, but what do you think about this transition from corporate to more either smaller or individual, and this great migration that seems to be happening?
Well, I think that was a trend that was happening long before this moment in time, right? People were expecting and demanding more flexibility, like much earlier than, you know, okay, now we're going to say, okay, we're going back to the office and either you're coming with us or not. And a whole bunch of people have said, yeah, we're not. And I think one of the things that the pandemic has revealed to us is that there is a lot more uncertainty that we did not recognize as an inherent part of our world. And I'm saying this broadly, not just health, but also like employment situations and all the rest of that. And we've come to accept that much more fully in a much more mature kind of mindset relative to work, right? No one is looking out for my career except for me. And you know what? I'm going to make some decisions about that don't depend on my employer saying yes to or not, right? And I think that's really what happened to me, right? You know, February of 2019, I was finishing an educational leadership master's. I was trying to network internally to like be able to do the next thing instead of the next step in my progression as an educator. And, you know, basically those opportunities were not available to me. So I said, okay, yeah, I'm going to stop asking you for permission to do the next thing. And I went and found the opportunity to work remotely all by myself. I went from being a technology-oriented teacher to being a teaching-oriented technologist very quickly. Right. And it was thanks to organizations like GitLab and WeWork Remotely and Yak and others that have, you know, demonstrated that this was something that was possible.
You know, the possibility, just the awakening to this possibility, is having a ripple effect across many different aspects of how we live life today. And so it's, you know, we've hit on some of those during this call, this time together. And those who are listening are watching this, many from a distance, wondering if it's really going to take effect. But yet, for those who are are immersed in it already, and some who've been in it for a period of time before the pandemic hit, actually. And that's us. As a company, before the pandemic, we were globally distributed and remote pre-pandemic. This isn't new to us as insured nomads. But yet many are still on the sidelines saying, what are they talking about? And async. They're thinking, what's the difference in async? They're saying, you know, no, I can't do that. Slack is the way. And when I type a Slack message, they better reply right then because I want to know. And it's a thing where I've got to tell people on our team even, hey, just because I sent that message doesn't mean you got to stop everything and reply. Because years ago, I had that mentality. When my boss was in Taiwan and it was 2 a.m. for me in Northern California, and I got a message saying, hey, do this. I misinterpreted it as jump out of bed and do this right now. No, she wasn't thinking we were working at the same time. She was async mindset. And there's so much shift in trust that has to take place in a corporate environment that, you know, just because they didn't acknowledge it doesn't mean that it's not going to get seen and done when they're able to. And so the trust factor, can you dive into that? Because I think that's a major thing from work from anywhere, work from home, work async. What's your take on that, Tyler?
Well, you hit on it, right? It has to be something that is demonstrated, communicated, and set as the organizational, departmental, divisional, whatever segment of organization is being led by someone, that person has to set the norm, has to communicate the norm explicitly. If that doesn't exist, there will be assumptions that are made that are harmful to individuals, right? Individuals will put it upon themselves to make decisions about what is supposed to and what is not supposed to happen, unless you have declared it. These are our team communication norms. This is how we communicate. When we do these types of meetings, we do them here. When we do those types of meetings, we do them here. This is the expectation of your reply. Your participation is expected in these types of meetings. Your participation is invited in these types of meetings. These types of meetings, this type of communication doesn't require your response. This type of communication does require your response. I will, every time that I expect you to have a instant reply, that's going to happen with this kind of tool, right? Versus these are the hierarchy of asynchronous work inside of our team. And I think it's one of those things that people have very little experience with on a personal level because of the office, right? Only the people that have spent time inside of fully distributed organizations or multinational organizations like yourself, where you said, hey, I had somebody that worked with me from Asia while I worked on the North American West Coast. There's these kind of, you know, time differences, and they've done lots of work with those types of people, whereas I had never done that. But you shared that story, and that's exactly what needs to be. And I worked with direct reports that worked 12 hours ahead of me during the day. We spent a sum total of 45, 50 minutes a week together on a video conference, right? Every other week. And I'm not depending on that person to like be communicating with me all the time for me to know that they're doing their job, right? You have to set the KPIs and the OKRs and all whatever the hot acronym of the moment is in evaluating people. You have to be able to say, okay, this is where the work is being done. This is what is being measured, not FaceTime or seat time or any other version of time-based instead of being an outcome-based sort of metrics. You have to pay attention to the things that matter. And that's part of the forcing function of remote, is to say, stop depending on office time and the coat hook accountability of like, is my coat still on the hook, right? I heard a story one time of somebody making a relationship with the janitor who would hang up his coat and turn on the light in his office to make it appear as though that person was there before everyone else, right?
Amazing. No, and actually, to your point, there's also a leadership shadow too, is, you know, as a leader in an organization, if you say to somebody, you know, I want to talk to you on Monday all week, and you're talking on Friday, or you send a text, I want to talk to you on Monday all weekend, they're going to think, what did I do wrong? And if you're communicating well, you need to make it like, hey, I need to catch up to you on Monday because we got to work about the rates on this particular case.
Use schedule send, right? Yeah. You might have thought of it on Friday, but don't have the email appear in their inbox until Monday.
Exactly. And this is what I'm saying, is that leadership shadow, because it tends to be more of a hierarchical thing that the leader doesn't think that they've just ruined the person's weekend because they wonder about things. But that's for a whole nother podcast at a different time.
Yes.
So Tyler, yeah, go ahead, Ed. You've got our special question for Tyler today.
I do. I really wonder. You know, Tyler, this is a question we ask everybody that is on the New Nomad podcast. And that is, if you could share with us one overlooked person, place, experience, even book, and you can pick two if you want to, and we'll put the link in the notes on our site and everywhere, but person, place, experience that's been overlooked that you think our listeners should know about.
Okay. So I've got two ends of the spectrum. One is a very well-known thing. My spouse and I are going to be celebrating 15 years of marriage with a sailing cruise off the French Riviera. So that's like obviously a place that people go to.
Very nice. Very nice.
But I want to share the inspiration for that trip as the West Coast of Michigan. I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and was fortunate enough to grow up sailing with my grandparents, who ended up retiring early thanks to a financial windfall that we don't need to go into, but they purchased a 43-foot Endeavor Ketch, center cockpit, mizzen mast, queen bed in the aft cabin. It slept 12 people. Summer vacations all growing up were spent with them in Montague, Michigan, which there's beach towns all up and down the west coast of Michigan that are beautiful, amazing, quaint places to reside for the summer. So I want to invite all the nomads out there, put West Michigan as a place to come visit. Grand Rapids is Beer City, USA. So if you are into craft beers, it's a fantastic like mecca of craft brewing. You've probably,
Founders.
I was just going to say Bells and Founders are the two names that you probably already know. I'm going to say there's probably another three dozen that are worth visiting as well. But then also like beach towns like Saugatuck, Holland, Grand Haven, Ludington, Pentwater, Leland, Traverse City, Petoskey. There's so many that you could come and visit. Imagine like a freshwater version of the Black Sea, right? Yeah. For the Europeans out there, or I guess that's kind of like at the intersection of those places. But yes, a freshwater version of the Adriatic, right? It's a beautiful, beautiful place that has awesome, awesome, special place in my heart, like having grown up there. But for those of you that are watching visually, like I've got a whole bunch of sailing stuff in my Zoom background, because I really think that the original remote workers, remote leaders were naval captains, right? And so if you're thinking about, you know, asynchronous communication, clear scope of work, right? Dead reckoning. Okay, that's probably too sailory word. Figuring out where you are based upon what you can observe, right? Like these are the things that are useful to remote workers. And as we go about this profession together, finding your metaphor for what it is that, you know, is going to be the thing that unlocks what we're doing here together. Encourage everyone to do that.
Fantastic. Well, Tyler, we appreciate your being our guest today. I do also want to highly endorse Grand Rapids as somebody who's gone to presidential museums, the Presidential Museum for Gerald Ford. There's a great art museum there. And someday when we catch up again, we can talk about that unique hamburger you have in Grand Rapids that's pumpernickel, cream cheese, olives, etc. But we'll leave that aside. Andrew, I learned a lot today as we wrap up. Why'd you share what you learned?
Well, you know, it's not every day that someone focuses on the Great Lake Megalopolis. And that is, if you haven't heard that term, Google that, the Great Lakes Megalopolis. That covers Canada and the U.S. there. So I do hope it gets on the map for those location-independent digital nomads that are sorting out where they're going to visit in the U.S. for a six-month stay. Those that are snowbirds, they're probably getting out of that area and going south, but come springtime, get this on your map. This has been fun because, you know, I'm such an advocate for freedom in communication, clear, healthy communication. And Tyler and the team at Yak are putting out product that is vital for healthy communication in a distributed workforce. So really, it's been a pleasure to have him in today.
So we'll give Tyler the last word. Tyler, where can people find the remote show? And whether whether you're on LinkedIn, etc.
Yes. So the place to get to all of my things is tsell.link, T-S-E-L-L.link. But yak.com, Y-A-C.com, theremoteshow.link. We'll have all the different places to, you know, download, listen, and subscribe. But then, of course, weworkremotely.com. One more that I want to hype a little bit. We mentioned head of remote. That is a long-term career goal of mine. And so I have a resource page called headofremote.xyz. I'll be sure to add Alan and Andrew as location-independent company leaders on the site. But it's just a place for everyone to kind of be learning together of like, okay, hey, we're trying this new way of working kind of all of a sudden with so many more people. Who can we listen to? Who has already lived through the rough patches, right? And that's what we're doing at Yak, is we're trying to help you, you know, move asynchronously. And then the remote show has been in this space for a long time, even before I was hosting. And then also, you know, the heads of remote broadly, right, have been showing us how to do this. Darren, the first, but then others, you know, have followed along him to say, hey, we can do this. This is the way it's been done. And this is the way we're going to do it now based upon the learning that we've already been doing. So of course, it was a pleasure today, Alan and Andrew, to be learning out loud with you all, and blessings. Looking forward to hanging out and seeing each other around the internet as we go.
So thanks again. And thank you all for listening to The New Nomad. We'll catch you down that road. Travel safe.
Thanks for tuning in to The New Nomad Podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.